we're going to move on. We're going to go back to something that we covered last week, which was the IPCC report, which is the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change. They put out a report that says, yes, indeed, humankind is affecting the climate. And I thought it would be worthwhile to look at insurance companies, because insurance companies are the canary in the mine and absolutely essential for underwriting the capitalist system, in fact. And we've got Dr. Carl Mallon on the line, who's going to have a yarn about it because he's the Director of Science and Systems at the Climate Risk. G'day, Carl. How are you?
Oh, great, Nanny. How about yourself?
I'm good. Yes, I'm glad to hear you, and I'm glad that we could talk. What are you finding in regards to climate risk as climate change has actually been accepted by, you know, the majority, and that there's an understanding that it's the rapidity of it is human caused by humans?
Yeah, I think, obviously, you know, all of these are just, you know, another piece of evidence in the step as if we needed it. You know, I think the scientific community's been there for a long time. I think you know, broader society has been there for a long time around the world, and I'd say that what's happened in the last 18 months is really that the private sector, so governments, corporations, private companies, listed companies, the finance sector has really taken this as the new reality. And then, you know, finally we're sort of in a situation where most governments have sort of stepped up in some form. I think we all know that a lot of governments around the world can manage two thoughts at the same time, you know, where they can say we're going to act on climate change but still be doing stuff which is inconsistent with that. But at least in principle, they're signing up. And obviously, we know that Australia is somewhat dragging their heels on this particular issue. So that's a landscape that we're in at the moment. I guess that the main thing we've learned this time around is that things are probably a little bit worse than we thought.
Yeah.
And that, as everyone knows, our window to act is now really starting to close.
Yeah. Yeah, that's exactly right. I mean, I looked at the summary of the particular report that backgrounds this conversation, and it's incredibly constrained in scientific language because I'm assuming, one, because that's the nature of the panel, but also it's a bit like a legal document. It's so difficult to actually get across the fact that we should be in disaster mode because business interests and governments, our government, for example, is wedded to fossil fuels effectively.
Yeah, look, I think as a, you know, speaking in a personal capacity, if you like, you know, when I look at this landscape and I look at the, we're in a, they call it the resource curse internationally, and it's this concept which is, if a country has resources that you can dig up and sell, your population becomes an impediment. Okay, and that's when you see
it's horrifying.
That's right, pretty bad. But it's basically, you know, if you're in Singapore, you don't have anything to sell that you can dig up. So your resources, your people, so you invest in your people. And so you want your people to be as smart and as valuable as possible. So places like that, you know, invest in their people. Whereas if you're in somewhere like Nigeria, which has lots of oil, what you don't want is your people getting in the way. And so you kill the political activists and you tell everyone to get out of the way and you shove them into shanties while you just get the oil and dig it up and sell it. In Australia, we're in an odd situation, which is we have what is a mature and reasonably healthy democracy with a lot of people with opinions, and yet we have a lot of stuff that's worth digging up and selling. And so, if you like, what the folks who've got want to get their hands on that stuff have to do is negotiate with the democracy. And unfortunately, that means that we get a lot of information which is of dubious value, and we find that our governments, elected governments, do things which are not in the interests of the people they represent. And, one of them would be keeping fossil fuel plants alive long after they were supposed to be shut down, when they are extremely expensive to run and renewables would be cheaper. That's not in anybody's interest. That's not even being green. That's not even being financially sensible. That's doing something where the interests being represented are not those of the population. And I think now that's becoming clearer and clearer, and it's being called out more and more. But that's, in a way, that's our challenge now, is that the sort of dying vestiges of self-interest are trying to assert their final bits of power. And when the economy really, and those who have capital have moved on. We're an Australian company, but almost three quarters of our work is overseas. So, we work in the US, in the UK, in Europe. We advise a lot of very, very big financial institutions and around physical risk, but I can tell you they are stampeding out of high fossil fuel risk assets. They are so keen to get out. Here we think that it's business as usual, but it is not. They are trying to get out as fast as they possibly can.
Mm. Oh, because that's how it really works, isn't it? It's all very well to say there's opportunities in chaos, so the idea that if you've got a tar, coal, you've created an environmental disaster, then of course there's money in cleaning up the disaster. But in actual fact, cost is now outweighing the usefulness of these industries.
Well, look, this is a bit where it's, let's just unpick how you would be thinking if you've got fossil fuel assets, like you own coal mines in Australia. You're suddenly realizing that Japan's winding down its coal plans. China is planning to be net zero. And probably it's only a matter of time before India follows. That you're sitting there, and you're also realizing that that the Europeans, the Americans, your big trading partners, are going to start putting tariffs. So the Europeans are now making steel that doesn't need coal. Oh. They're shipping green steel. Now, we could do that because we've almost got more renewable energy per capita than anyone else in the world. We have a small population on a massive country, baked in sunshine, with wind blowing all around our coast. It just does not get any better than this. We could be shipping green steel, green aluminium, green lithium, the whole lot. Now, what that needs is fresh money. It needs fresh money to build a renewable-based steel plant. Now, if you're sitting on fossil fuels and you've got a lot of money in the bank, but you can see that your fossil fuel resources are going to be worth nothing soon, especially your exports, what you're going to go on is say, well, at least let's make sure that the Australian government and the Australian people is still using coal. And that's what's going down. I mean, it's a set piece, which is you're losing your foreign markets, so let's force the Australian poor people to buy this because that's how we can hang on for as long as we possibly can, even though our economy needs to now switch to a low-carbon economy so that we can be competitive with the things we want to sell globally. So that's what's playing out, and the problem we have is that the new companies don't have a lot of money. So if you're a renewable company, you're an up-and-coming. So what will happen, though, I think, and this is, you know, this is what gives me some hope, is that these renewable companies and, you know, low-carbon companies are really getting beefed up overseas, and they will hit Australia pretty hard at some stage, and they will, I think they will end up just brushing stuff aside. You can already see it with the big investors, because they're coming and they're saying, right, yeah, we'll invest in Australia. Coal, you've got to be kidding us, come up with something else. So when things like our treasuries go off to raise bonds for infrastructure in Australia, so they, what happens is our state governments go and try and raise money overseas. They're going, and I know this firsthand, I mean, I know this by talking to people who go and do this, they're going and seeing, well, we've got a treasury bond for this state or that state, and they're saying, what's in it? And they're saying, basically, what they're hearing is, if it's not green, we're not interested. If you put anything like fossil fuels or, you know, railways connecting coal mines, just not interested. Don't bring it to us. If, on the other hand, you come up to us with
wind powered, you know, offshore wind farm,
yeah, or you want to connect you want to put in electrical infrastructure to open up wind farms or solar plants in the outback,
electric cars,
or
stuff,
electric cars, trains, electrification of lighting. I know this for a fact because I was speaking to one of the negotiators, and they ended up putting a package of light rail, electrification of lighting, making water assets resilient to climate change. They put a bundle of that together. They took it to Europe. They were trying to get $1 billion. I think it like just under $1 billion. They ended up having $2.5 billion of subscribers wanting to buy it. As in, they didn't even have enough green stuff to sell, because the demand was so high. So this is where the smart money is going. And so what you're going to find is, a bit like Adani, is that no one will touch the coal assets. And the bit that is challenging for us as a democracy now is, we've got to make sure that our governments don't put dumb money onto fossil fuels, because that's basically, the stuff's not worth anything.
They're too expensive, aren't they? This government's just too expensive.
Well, it's, you know, the thing is, the smart money's not touching this stuff for a reason. And you know, when the government says, oh, we're going to have a gas recovery,
blah, blah,
or
blah,
we're going to underfund, just remember, all of us have to remember, that's my money. Yeah. And you're entrusted to spend my money well. And really, you have to challenge, do you have a right to put my money behind something which is not in my interest? You know, there's a word for that. And, you know, I won't say it on air, but they have a lot of trouble with it within South America. Let's put it that way.
Thank you very much for talking to me, Dr. Carl.
All right. Thanks a lot. Have a lovely weekend.
You too.